Episode 1461, My Strength is My Story with Jonathan Baylor, The Set Point Diet.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us a wellness extraordinaire in the house, Jonathan Baylor. Are you ready to have your mind blown? Oh yes, it's all about the same solution, the Set Point Diet. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Jonathan's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. This episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. Exciting things are around the corner, so be sure to be listening here on the podcast so you are the first to know, and also signing up for the newsletter. Now, Jonathan is going to share with you some extraordinary, extreme knowledge that he has been gathering for years. Your mind is not only going to be blown, but your life and your weight is going to be changed. Maybe you've had a lot of question marks as to why is it that I get older and my weight seems to be going up, but sometimes I do things and I can get it to go down, and sometimes I do the same thing and it doesn't even move. What is it? How do I get to my healthiest weight? He is here to answer our questions. So without further ado, it's all about the same solution. Let's welcome in Jonathan Baylor, The Set Point Diet. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have someone with us in the health industry. Oh yes, he is an expert. His name is Jonathan Baylor. He is a husband of 10 years to his beautiful wife, Angela, and a father to their precious newborn daughter, not even 4 months yet, Avia. He pioneered the field of wellness engineering and is the founder and CEO of the world's fastest growing permanent weight loss and diabetes treatment company, Sane Solution. Jonathan has registered over 26 patents, has spoken at Fortune 100 companies and TED conferences for over a decade, and he served as a senior program manager at Microsoft, where he helped create Nike Connect Training and Xbox Fitness. You might even recognize Jonathan's name from his first book, a New York Times bestseller, of course, The Calorie Myth. And he has now written a brand new book, which I know is going to be another New York Times bestseller, The Set Point Diet, the 21-day program to permanently change what your body wants to weigh. Welcome, my friend and wellness extraordinaire. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, it's my honor because, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, but you really get down to the nitty-gritty when it comes to the Set Point Diet.
Yeah, the Set Point Diet is one of the most exciting projects I've ever had the opportunity to work on because it addresses, let me say the elephant in the room. And what I mean by that is so many of us have had this feeling for decades that it's like no matter what diet we try or no matter what pill, potion, or powder we take or drink or exercise routine we go on, it's like our body wants to be at a certain weight. Like it has a mind of its own. And the scientific fact is that you're not crazy. You're not imagining things. We have now proven definitively that your body does have a range that it wants to stay at. It's called your set point weight. And we also know that we can change that range and therefore get your body working for you rather than against you. And that's extremely exciting.
Oh, it's very exciting. And that set point now, that might be a new term for somebody. So can you define that for us?
I'll give you a scientific explanation and then I'll give you more of a fun explanation. How about, is that okay?
That's awesome.
Okay, so the scientific explanation is, you may recall from high school biology class, a term called homeostasis. And that term really characterizes how all living organisms stay alive. So flowers, for example, work to maintain homeostasis. You'll notice that if you have flowers in your garden and the sun moves in the sky, they will automatically move to get more sunlight because they need to have a certain level of sunlight to thrive. And you'll notice that your body, if you step into a cold room, will shiver. It will automatically try to maintain a certain body temperature. And the reason we have life on this planet and don't see life on the moon is because, for example, the temperature of this planet stays within a range. It doesn't go 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit or minus 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. There's a fixed range. So your body is consistent with every other biological thing on the planet in the sense that when it comes to mission critical functions like body temperature, blood pressure, blood sugar, and energy balance, it automatically works to keep you in balance. Now, what that doesn't mean is that we can drink Mountain Dew all day and eat Krispy Kreme donuts and never gain weight, because our personal experience proves that wrong. But what it does prove, for example, is that we need to understand why, for example, if we have a disease like diabetes, which is characterized by the breakdown in your body's ability to automatically balance blood sugar, right? I'll bring this all back. It's a long answer, but I know we have a little bit of time. If you have diabetes, you know that what has happened is your body cannot keep your blood sugar in a safe range on its own. So you will then work with a physician to manually intervene to control that range. If you have or know anyone that has hypertension or blood pressure problems, what has happened? Their body cannot automatically keep blood pressure in that healthy range anymore. If you know anyone who struggles from overweight or obesity, that is a disease, as defined by the American Medical Association, of your body having lost its ability to balance fat storage in a healthy optimum range. So your set point is your set point for weight is the range of fat that your body is working to maintain no matter what you do. You also have a set point for body temperature, set point for blood sugar, set point for even happiness, which we can get into later. That's a totally separate topic, but set points just generally describe how your body works to maintain a range or homeostasis so that you thrive. And that range can go up or down if a disease sets in, and we need to cure those diseases rather than starve ourselves or feel ashamed or punish ourselves for having them.
Woo! Okay, everybody take a deep breath. We just got out of science class. No, but I love it. Jonathan, what I love, honestly, about your book, because I've read your whole book. I even read your acknowledgments. That's how much of your book I read. It really gets down to the point of, if you're the science one who loves biology, you're going to eat this book up. But if you're also the layman out there that says, I just want to lose weight, you're going to love this book because it gives you everything, and the detail of it is just so simplistic. It kind of sounds weird to have details, yet it's simple. I love that.
Yeah, and I did promise I'll give the fun explanation. So what is your set point from a small perspective? Your set point is what your body's going to fight to keep you weighing, no matter what you do. So you could go on the paleo diet or the keto diet, or you could starve yourself, or you go on the South Beach diet, or you could take diet pills, or you could do whatever. But you're going to find that no matter what you do, your body's going to work to bring you right back to whatever your set point is.
Now, the question is, though, can that set point be recalibrated?
Yes. More generally, the question of can your set point be changed? We absolutely know it can. So if you personally or anyone else you know has ever had children, you probably noticed that your set point changed.
Yes.
After you had a child. Or if you've ever quit smoking, you might have noticed that something around your set point changed. If you've experienced menopause or andropause, you've noticed that your set point has probably changed. Aging actually changes our set point. So the question is not, can the set point change? We've all seen it go up. The question is, can we bring it back down? And the answer is absolutely yes, because the scientific breakthrough is that we now understand what's happening when it goes up. And because we understand what's happening when it goes up, we can formulate solutions to bring it back down. And that's been the real breakthrough over the past couple of years.
Which is incredible, because your company, Sane Solution, you've worked on that. Now, sane is not the idea of the sanity in the head, which it does kind of, because you talk about that with the psychological things that we could spend all day just on that topic alone. But it's actually an acronym, SANE. Can you share that acronym with us?
The SANE acronym stands for the four factors that determine if a food is going to raise or lower your set point. So high quality, sane foods lower your set point, good. Low quality, insane foods raise your set point. And the acronym stands for satiety, or how quickly a calorie fills you up and how long it keeps you full. The A stands for aggression, or the hormonal impact of a food. The N stands for nutrition, or the amount of essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fatty acids the food provides. And the E stands for efficiency, or how readily your body could store those calories as body fat.
Woo, I'm ready to get sane. Because otherwise I'm going to be insane. I mean, as a mom of five, I know what it's like to be on this ultimate roller coaster called life. And I've seen every weight. I've been over 215 pounds. And that was not being pregnant. That was after having my fifth child. And so I know I'm not the only one who has a problem. And I also think the way we have kind of grown in food organization, like, you know, that middle section of the grocery store that a lot of us shop in, not a good place to be. So how do you become sane? Like, if someone's listening right now and they're like, okay, I've been there, I've done them all. I've done, you know, the box food diets, I've done the keto, I've done the paleo. What's my first step to becoming sane?
The biggest thing you can do is focus on pursuing the positive rather than attacking the negative. And this is what, while the term diet is in the title of the book, I would imagine that your experience with diets in the past is characterized by what not to do. And you and I both know, especially if you have five children, telling someone what not to do, probably not the best way to get them to, you know, right? Like, don't eat from this tree in the Garden of Eden. Or, I mean, it's like the oldest story in the book. Telling people what not to do generally doesn't work. So the approach that we take and that modern psychological science supports is we want you to flood your body with so much high quality, healing, satiating, delicious foods that you simply don't have room for any of the toxic and addictive and craving causing set point elevating foods.
So more good means less bad, and that's going to lower my set point, correct?
That's exactly right, because it's going to do two things. It's going to do more than two things. From a high level perspective, when you provide your body with an abundance, when you flood it with therapeutic nutrition, it's going to have the raw material it needs to literally heal the underlying causes of an elevated set point. Plus, you're going to crowd out the food-like products that caused those problems in the first place. So it's a little bit like if you were burning your hand on the stove. Not only are you removing your hand from the stove, but then, you know, you're putting some ointment on it, and you're wrapping it in a gauze bandage so that it can heal as quickly as possible.
Now, I know someone's already questioning, this can't be true. There's no way this is going to work. I'm all about calories in, calories out. Come on, how can you prove me wrong? I know in the book you write about the sink analogy. Can you share your sink story?
The title of my first book was The Calorie Myth, and I received some flack from that because there was the perception that I was saying that calories are a myth. And that is not what I'm saying, nor that is what the research shows. The myth is that a human being must consciously count calories in order to be healthy and happy and slim and fit long term. That is a myth. And if you want evidence for that myth, there was not an obesity epidemic prior to anyone even knowing what a calorie was. So how did that work? So here's how it worked. You have a part of your brain called your hypothalamus, which is literally there to count calories, among other things, for you. So calories count, you just don't need to count them. If your brain is not inflamed, if your hormones are in balance, and if your gut microbiota have the right ratios of little bacterial minions living there, your appetite and calorie burn will be appropriate automatically to keep you at a healthy, slim weight long term.
Wow. Okay. So I'm just saying, sign me up for all of the above. And I know you all will want to pick up your own copy of The Set Point Diet, the 21-day program to permanently change what your body wants to weigh. Well, I know you didn't just fall into health and wellness by accident. In fact, I read in your book, there was a superhero very close to you in your life, your grandfather. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little story about him and all what transpired?
When I was younger, I had a grand—I had, because that's part of the problem. long story short, my grandfather was a tremendous individual. He was second generation American from Poland. My last name is actually Bielkowski. My grandfather had to change it because they didn't like Polish people where he grew up. So they had to make it sound less Polish. So Baylor, B-A-I-L-O-R, is a made up last name. That's why like Baylor University is B-A-Y-L-O-R. Anyway, so my grandfather was an incredible human being, second generation American, didn't have a high school education. My mother and aunts and uncles, all four of his children went on to get master's degrees or more, which is incredible. And he was just a pillar of the community. Everyone looked up to him. And unfortunately, despite that, despite being a hero to me and to so many other people, he suffered from diabetes. And it got to the point where I was young and I was in the hospital. And I remember being there and my mother was in the room with him and I just heard him screaming, "Please don't let them take my leg. Please don't let them take it." And I came to learn from my mother that I was a child, I didn't know what was going on, but he had sepsis, which is an infection of the blood, which is why diabetes is the number one cause of amputations in the world. And they were saying, we either need to cut his leg off or he's going to die. And he didn't want to have his leg cut off. So my mother and her siblings respected his wishes. And that was the last time I saw my grandfather. He passed away way too early. And in he didn't go out on top, which was really unfortunate. And that experience really lit a fire inside of me because my superhero was broken and defeated by this villainous disease of diabetes. And when you look at the research now of the incredibly tight correlation between overweight and diabetes, we have got to do something to prevent the superheroes in our lives from dealing with things like amputations and blindness and death. And I don't want to be like morbid or bad, but oftentimes when we talk about weight, we're talking about like bathing suits and fitting into outfits. And honestly, if you look at the research, if you are struggling with your weight, there's a 90% chance you will develop diabetes. That is a fatal disease. Fatal. People don't get that. They think it's like a cult.
Yeah, and it's staggering, you know, Jonathan. Yeah. I mean, 90%. I mean, listen to that number. Not just, 26%. We're talking more than, you know, if you have 7 people in your family, which we do, that means we're talking 6 of us.
Yep. And let me really drive home how high 90% is. Smoking, very bad. No one should smoke. Only 10% of people who smoke get lung cancer. So to the extent that we're like, don't smoke, you're going to get lung cancer, you are 9 times more likely to develop the fatal disease of diabetes if you struggle with your weight than someone who smokes is to get lung cancer.
Wow. Press the pause button here and listen to that, because it is the new year and this is a time to change your life. And I think we all kind of have this New Year's resolution, like, oh, I'm going to lose weight. And we go for that 10 or 20 pound, whatever that magic number is. That magic number, I think we need to change how we talk about our weight loss journey. What would you suggest in changing the words that we speak? Because I truly believe words have power. What would you tell that person who says, okay, my New Year's resolution is to lose that 20 pounds?
Our dream as an organization is to change, is that in 10 years, hopefully less, 5, maybe 1, if the book does really well, we'll see, is instead of people saying, I'm going to eat less to lose weight, people just start naturally saying, like, I hope my daughter never utters that statement. I hope she says, I am going to be sane so that I lower my set point. Hmm. Because when you live sane, when you live with this high quality attitude, like I am of the highest quality and therefore deserve the highest quality food, right? Like I would never breathe polluted air if I didn't have to. I don't want to breathe in low quality air. I don't want to put anything of low quality in my high quality body. I deserve the highest quality. And when you understand how intrinsically valuable and high quality you are, you will then be a high quality person, live in a high quality way, and experience a high quality life, which will inevitably result in a lower set point and effortless long-term slimness and health.
In your journey, not only did you have the influence of your grandfather, but you also had two other superheroes. You had the Man of Steel, which I gotta say, just pick up a copy of the book for that picture alone. It is adorable. I'm just, you know, a mom, when you're a mom, you're always a mom. And any kid picture, you just, you know, it's like a puppy picture. You fall in love with it all over again. But there was a second superhero, and that was your brother. And your journey, though, was not about, you didn't know all this at the very beginning. Go back to when you struggled.
The second superhero was my big brother. He is 10 years older than I am, so he's significantly older than I am. And as I was growing up, you can imagine a 5 or 6 year old boy, my brother is having tremendous athletic success. We grew up in the Midwest, Central Ohio, and he went to a very prestigious athletic Catholic high school, St. Francis de Sales, one of the top wrestling programs in the country. And he was just, you know, this big, strong wrestler. And of course, you have this much younger brother, me, who's like, oh, I want to be big and strong like my brother. In fact, quick story, I would actually wear his wrestling pin. So it's a pin of him and his wrestling singlet to kindergarten. And I would tell my friends, because I kind of got in trouble for this, like, my brother is so strong, he could throw you through a wall. And of course, they're like, well, don't say that. That's not good. But anyway. So I wanted to be like my big, strong older brother. So even as a young child, my mother will tell you stories about, I loved watching the movie Rocky III, and I would go and I would do pull-ups on my jungle gym, and I would run laps around the backyard, and I was like, I'm going to be big and strong. And that continued all throughout my life. I wanted to be big and strong and like the Man of Steel or like my older brother. And that caused me to become a personal trainer. And that caused me to do all sorts of wacky things to try to get bigger, which is a really important point, because not many people struggle or try really hard to get bigger. Most of us struggle to get smaller. Now, I'm not a huge fan of those words, bigger and smaller, but just for the point of this story, I was eating, once I got into high school, I was eating 6,000 calories per day in an effort to try to gain weight. I wanted to play college football, but I couldn't. It was impossible for my body to store those calories. I was a personal trainer at that time. I was working with incredible clients, incredibly brilliant adults who have accomplished so much in life. And I'd put them on 1200 calorie diets and they weren't losing weight. And I knew they were doing it. So it wasn't an issue of compliance. So I couldn't in my brain understand how I, who am a human being, could eat 6,000 calories per day, not gain weight. They, who are also human beings, could eat 1,200 calories per day and not lose weight. So I quit being a personal trainer and decided to start over from scratch, because I didn't know what is the difference? Like, what enables naturally thin people to be naturally thin? No one's really asked that question, but that question really has dictated the last 15 years of my life.
And it's been a good dictator in your life, so to speak, because look, all of the discoveries that you've made. And it's not that it's one discovery, but I think there's a lot of studies that are out there, a lot of research. I think you've gone over, 1,300, 1,400 studies alone that you've researched and worked your way through. That's a lot of studies to go through. But what you've done is you've compiled all of your learnings together to have it make sense to the common person.
I feel very, very blessed and fortunate and almost on a path, not of my own design, because if you look at the things that I've been fortunate enough to experience in my life, so how was I able to get my hands on those studies? Well, when I stopped being a personal trainer, I talked to my parents about the situation I was having. Both of my parents are college professors, and they said, Jonathan, where are you getting your information? And I said, well, like magazines and my personal trainer, you know, credentials. And they were like, why don't you look at actual research? Why don't you? And I could do that because my parents were college professors. And that's, I also spent 10 years of my life as a senior program manager at Microsoft. So I am an engineer by training. So if you take a deep understanding of biology just as a hobby, and training as an engineer, an engineer's job is to take information and turn it into workable solutions in reality. I'm sort of a wellness engineer. And that is not something that I tried to do. It kind of just happened. And it's been such a blessing because I think finally we have the tools and strategies to reverse all the horrible physiological and psychological damage that diabetes and obesity are causing.
And here you term it diabesity. Mm-hmm. Why diabesity?
One, it's a fun word. It's like catchy. Everyone who hears it is like, but just to be very clear, it's actually not my term. And this is one of the most interesting things about it. And this is one of the most heartbreaking things about it. If you go to PubMed, which is a publicly available database of academic research journals, which I know is super popular to do. Everyone's like, let's go see what the most recent academic research journals are. And you type in diabesity. It's been discussed in the scientific literature for quite some time. But the fact that we haven't heard of it, I mean, think about this for a second. This is a fatal illness that is affecting over 90% of us, and we haven't even heard of its name. Like, that's a big deal. So diabesity is just being overweight or obese and diabetic or pre-diabetic at the same time. And the reason it's so damaging is when those two conditions exist at the same time, they create this vicious cycle which will cause weight to go up and the complications of diabetes to happen faster. And the reason we need to understand this term and start using it all over the place is, like, personally, I don't think anyone should ever use the term overweight or fat or obese ever again. We should only say diabetes, pre-diabesity, or diabesity, because if you're struggling with cancer, people treat you with compassion, and they treat you with, they want to help. They want to figure out how to help you not have cancer anymore. If you just say, you know, the way, if you look at the way people who struggle with their weight are treated in our culture, it's disgusting, frankly. And they're suffering from a severe medical condition because of poor information, but they're treated like lazy gluttons. Whereas if the label we gave them was, these people are struggling with diabetes, you said words matter, and I agree with you. I believe that would change how we approach this condition, both as individuals and as a society. And I believe that we could overcome it with grace and compassion.
All right, that's it. Sign me up. I'm on the train with you, Jonathan. I know y'all want to pick up a copy of his brand new book, The Set Point Diet, the 21-day program to permanently change what your body wants to weigh. I know I want my body to weigh its best. I also know that people will say, okay, you've talked a little bit about food, changing the set point. Now, what about that thing called cardio? Am I going to have to run?
No. And this is one of the most shocking things about this research is that run actually elevates your set point, which is good news and bad news. It's frustrating news, let's put it that way, because similar to being told that, you know, fat is bad and bread is good, which is completely backwards, we've been told, especially women, that cardio is good and don't weight train because you'll have bulky muscles and that's bad. Cardio causes the hormonal changes in your body that elevate your set point. Smart, slow resistance training causes the hormonal changes in your body that lower your set point, period. I mean, we have, especially women, have been so misinformed about the role of exercise in health and body composition. I mean, for example, I would be shocked if any one of your viewers or listeners has ever even thought about exercise in the context of her testosterone production.
Oh, I would say probably slim to none.
And if you want, I think this is such a critical point, because a lot of people have had the following experience. Let's say that you have a heterosexual relationship, female and a male. And let's say that the female decides that she wants to change her health and do a bunch of different things about it. Cool. So she does the cooking, she does the grocery shopping, because that's what she chooses to do. And she's like, I'm really committed. I want to lose some weight, rock and roll. And her husband or partner or whatever you want to call it, it doesn't have to be politically correct nowadays, is like, whatever, I'll go along for the ride, but I don't really care. So she's trying so hard. She's trying, nothing's happening. He's just like, whatever, and loses 20 pounds. And she gets so frustrated because she's like, what the hell? I'm trying so hard. And he is just effortlessly losing weight. What's going on? Well, there's a couple reasons, but one of the big reasons is that men, testosterone, women, different testosterone. Testosterone is one of the most important hormones in your body when it comes to long-term body composition. If you want to have that toned, lean look and effortless fat loss, we've got to optimize your testosterone levels, women and men. And cardio is toxic for testosterone production, whereas slow, safe resistance training is the most effective way to optimize your testosterone production.
Yes, no more treadmill. Oh, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, walking on the treadmill, just, you know, moving your body is great, but that traditional, boring, abusive cardio, no mas.
Yeah, and it also wreaks havoc on our joints. I mean, the amount of hundreds of thousands of pounds that we put every single time our foot hits that concrete, that's not good for our joints long-term either.
That's exactly right.
All right, so deep breath. We're not going to go backwards because right now we are so moving forward. And I can just feel it in the air that your book is going to change some lives this year and years to come. When you look at your health journey, what is something that still tempts you? Because I know people are saying, oh, come on. He's got his life perfect. He probably has no temptations or struggles.
I want to answer that question just a little bit differently, because I think what you're kind of getting at is cheating, the whole concept of cheating or cheating on diets and temptations and things along those lines. And I will answer your question, but I'd like all your listeners and viewers to have a thought experiment for a moment. And if you think about a relationship in your life that you are so satisfied with, so imagine that you have a relationship with another person that you're just completely satisfied in. It fulfills you completely. And someone asked you, have you ever thought about cheating on that person? You would say, no. Not because you're trying not to cheat on them, but met needs don't motivate. So if you're fully contented in a relationship, the idea of cheating just doesn't really. Have you ever thought about selling your children? No, I haven't thought about, why would I think about selling my children? What are you talking about? So I use the term relationship intentionally because we have a relationship with food. We absolutely have a relationship with food. And let me give you an example of a relationship with food. Most vegans, or let me use a different example. People who are halal and avoid pork, they don't say, I'm going to cheat and eat some pork. They don't struggle to not eat pork. They don't eat pork for a larger spiritual reason. So the idea of cheating just doesn't even make sense to them because they're doing what they're doing for a deep, profound reason. A vegan or a vegetarian, same kind of thing. A vegan or vegetarian, they pass up a steak and they're not like, I wish I could cheat on my veganism and eat that steak. They don't want to cheat. They have no desire to cheat because met needs don't motivate. What we find when people live and eat sanely is you heal your relationship with food and you develop what's called nutritional serenity. So you start to see food as therapeutic and abundant and healing rather than harmful. And therefore, if you choose to eat a donut, that's not cheating. That's a choice. Chances are you won't even want to make that choice. But it's up to you. Now, you ask me, Jonathan, do you have temptations and do you cheat? I love sweets and I love crunchy foods. I have to eat sweets and crunchy foods every day. However, within the set point diet, within a sane way of eating, we're about substitution, not deprivation. So I eat sweets whenever I have a craving for sweets. I just eat sane set point lowering sweets. If I have a craving for salty snacks, I eat a salty snack. I just eat a sane salty snack. If I have a craving for a crunchy snack. So I am never in a state of deprivation. I'm in a state of substitution. And because of that, cravings or things along those lines, I guess I have them and I'm able to indulge them and it's all good.
It's all good. So there's still that silver lining that people hear that word diet and they freak out. They're like, oh my gosh, diet means deprivation and I'm never going to have whatever it is. You know, for me, it's a root beer float. I don't have them very often anymore. But it used to be I would have them every night. Confession. You know, that's not good. That's not sane. That's insanity for sure. Total insanity. Well, in your all your research and collaborations throughout your years and really becoming this wellness extraordinaire, what has impacted you the most personally?
This is not something I enjoy talking about because it's one of the very few things in my life that I am ashamed of, but I will share it here because it is what impacted me most personally. When I was growing up, this is a long time ago, so please don't hold it against me. One of the reasons I'm so passionate about how we treat overweight and diabetes and diabesity is because I was, in my teenage years, long time ago, a naturally thin person who thought, what's wrong with these overweight people? Like, would they just freaking eat less and exercise more? I mean, come on. Like, just stop being so lazy. And then I personally had an epiphany. I had a moment where I was sitting across the table from one of my clients, and this was an incredible, incredible individual, so competent and capable at life. And I was just like, well, you know, you're not sticking to your 1200. You must not be sticking to your 1200 calorie diet because you're not losing weight and it's calories in, calories out. And she said, she started crying. And she said, Jonathan, what's wrong with me? Jonathan, you told me you're eating 6,000 calories a day and can't gain weight. I swear on everything that I'm eating 1200 calories per day and I can't lose weight. What's wrong with me? And she's crying. She's saying, what's wrong with me? In that moment, I don't know if this applies to all men, but for me as a man, like seeing a woman cry, horrible, horrible, horrible. And then feeling like you're the person responsible for making a woman cry, even worse. I made this person feel like she was fundamentally flawed. And at the same time, I had this realization that, you know, imagine if some big muscular man out there was saying to me, like, Jonathan, stop being so weak and stupid, like eat 10,000 calories per day. Like you should just try harder to gain weight. So this made me feel horribly ashamed and has since caused me to dedicate my entire life to helping people to see and understand that one, a lot of, we say that 70% of Americans struggle with overweight. I would argue that it should be 100% if 30% of the population wasn't naturally slim. Because if you look at the way everyone in our country eats, by and large, we should have a 95% rate of overweight and obesity, but some people have a genetic predisposition to not gain weight. But the overall macro point is the thing that has influenced me the most is once you understand the science. I know it's not the sexiest thing in the world. I can't tweet it. It does take a little bit of time. But once you understand the science and you understand how beautifully like complicated your body is and all the intricacies and how like it's not broken by default. It's not stupid or flawed. It's a miracle. And when you understand that you're a miracle and you understand that therefore you deserve the best in life and that no one is flawed or bad, we're in a broken down metabolic state that we need to heal. That changes everything. That changes how you approach food. That changes how you approach exercise. That changes how you approach yourself. And it was in that moment of feeling horribly ashamed that my whole perspective changed in an instant and led me on this journey. So that was the most influential point for me.
And it has since impacted your lifestyle.
Yes, very much so.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. I know everyone is going to want to pick up their own copy of the Set Point Diet 21-Day Program to permanently change what your body wants to weigh. Of course, we will have all this information in the show notes. Now, Jonathan, I know people are going to be like, I want more. I just don't want to listen to this. I want more. Where can people find you and connect with you?
Please go to Sane Solution. So SaneSolution.com. Tremendous amount of free resources. Also in 2019, we're going to be starting monthly group 21-day set point diet challenges. So you can get fun social support, and that's going to be really neat. But again, that's SaneSolution.com.
We will have that all in the show notes for you all to access. Now, before I let you go, I have one final question for you. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Passion and compassion.
Beautiful. What a combination. You are a firework ready to go off. And Jonathan, I am just so thrilled that God has given you a gift and you are sharing it with the world. Thank you so much for your time. And hopefully we'll have you back for your third New York Times bestseller book.
Thank you so much for having me.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.